Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Must we believe Joseph Smith was a prophet of God in order to be saved? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We have said many times in the past that all too often, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints tend to give Joseph Smith not only a pass regarding some of his very dubious behavior while he was alive, but they also seem to elevate him to positions that are very uncomfortable for us as Christian believers. When we look at the Journal of Discourses, as we have been for the past several broadcasts, we find that there are a lot of comments made by Mormon leaders such as Brigham Young, who say things about Joseph Smith that are certainly disconcerting. One of those can be found in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 229. This was a sermon that was given by Joseph Young, who was the brother of Brigham Young. He was ordained a 70 in 1835. And this is what he said in this message. He said, "Believe in God, believe in Jesus, and believe in Joseph his prophet, and in Brigham his successor. And I add, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, that Joseph was a prophet, and that Brigham was his successor, you shall be saved in the kingdom of God, which I pray in the name of Jesus may be the case. Amen." What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound familiar?
Sure sounds like Romans 10, 9, and 10 to me.
And notice what they've done. They've inserted Joseph Smith's name into what sounds very, like you said, very close to what we read in Romans 10, 9, and 10. But that's not the only time when they have taken Scripture, New Testament verses, and inserted Joseph Smith's name. What other examples do
we have? Well, this is from Volume 8, page 176, and this is Brigham Young speaking on September 9th, 1860, and he says, "I will now give my scripture. Whosoever confesseth that Joseph Smith was sent of God to reveal the holy gospel to the children of men and lay the foundation for gathering Israel and building up the kingdom of God on the earth, that spirit is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that God has sent Joseph Smith and revealed the everlasting gospel to and through him is of the Antichrist." Now, this is what 1 John 4 says in the New King James. It says, verse 2 of chapter 4, "By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So took that verse and applied it with Joseph Smith in mind.
And Mormons wonder why this bothers us? I mean, when you take the name of Joseph Smith and you insert it into, you know, what we obviously are plagiarisms of New Testament scripture, and you make it to where if you don't believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, your salvation is actually in jeopardy. And Mormons wonder why we're concerned.
It's blasphemous.
There's no other word to explain it. And sadly, a lot of Latter-day Saints just don't understand why this is so disconcerting, but yet we see this pattern many times. There was a manual that came out called Search These Commandments. I believe it came out in the 1980s. And in that manual, it talks about what Brigham Young said concerning Joseph Smith. Why don't you read? It's on page 133 of Search These Commandments, and this is what Brigham Young said.
And this is 1984 for the exact year. It says here in the halfway down, "Joseph Smith's mission did not end with his death. President Brigham Young stated, quote, Joseph Smith holds the keys of this last dispensation and is now engaged behind the veil, S-I-C, because they spelled it V-A-I-L, in the great work of the last days. And then we have an ellipses, the three dots. No man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter into the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. More ellipses. He holds the keys of that kingdom for the last dispensation, the keys to rule in the spirit world, and he rules there triumphantly. Ellipses. He was foreordained to eternity to preside over this last dispensation. And that's from Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, pages 289 through 290.
And that's why they have the S-I-C there, because in the Journal of Discourses, that's how it's spelled, V-A-I-L. It goes from nearly the top of page 289 to the very top of the first column on 290. That's a lot of words. We don't have time to go into every bit of what was left out, but here is what was left out. I'm going to just give you a highlight of some of it. As you said, Eric, it starts off by saying Joseph Smith holds the keys of this last dispensation and is now engaged behind the veil in the great work of the last days. It goes on to say, I can tell our beloved brother Christians who have slain the prophets and butchered and otherwise caused the death of thousands of Latter-day Saints, the priests who have thanked God in their prayers and thanksgiving from the pulpit, that we have been plundered, driven, and slain, and the deacons under the pulpit and their brethren and sisters in their closets who have thanked God, thinking that the Latter-day Saints were wasted away, something that no doubt will mortify them, something that, to say the least, is a matter of deep regret to them. Namely, and then here we go with the dot, 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 where we pick it up in the manual. No man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter into the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. And then you have the ellipses again, and here's what's left out. From the day that the priesthood was taken from the earth to the winding up scene of all things, every man and woman must have the certificate of Joseph Smith Jr. as a passport to their entrance into the mansion where God and Christ are. I with you and you with me, I cannot go there without his consent. Then the quote is picked up again in Search These Commandments to say, he holds the keys of that kingdom for the last dispensation, the keys to rule in the spirit world, and he rules there triumphantly. Now, there's more that's in this, but it goes on because we still have a lot of space between that ellipses and the last sentence on page 133 that's accredited to Brigham Young. Brigham Young also said in that same statement, he said, I will now tell you something that ought to comfort every man and woman on the face of the earth. Joseph Smith Jr. will again be on this earth dictating plans and calling forth his brethren to be baptized for the very characters who wish this was not so, in order to bring them into a kingdom to enjoy perhaps the presence of angels or the spirits of good men if they cannot endure the presence of the Father and the Son. And he will never cease his operations under the directions of the Son of God until the last ones of the children of men are saved that can be from Adam till now. Young goes on to say in the next paragraph, should not this thought comfort all people? They will by and by be a thousand times more thankful for such a man as Joseph Smith Jr. than it is possible for them to be for any earthly good whatever. It is his mission to see that all the children of men in this last dispensation are saved that can be through the redemption. You will be thankful, every one of you, that Joseph Smith Jr. was ordained to this great calling before the worlds were. I mean, when we read this kind of stuff, it makes me shudder to think that not only Young would make such a comment, but that a lot of Latter-day Saints would listen to this and believe it. And sadly, so many modern Latter-day Saints, who when you mention the name of Joseph Smith, tend to just close their eyes and look heavenward. It's scary. But yet we come across a lot of Latter-day Saints that look upon Joseph Smith as just that, one of the greatest men who ever lived. And yet, coming from our position, looking at Joseph Smith, I hope with a much wider lens, taking everything into account, we certainly don't see him that way at all.
Well, I mean, we're familiar, you're familiar with Philippians 2, 5 through 11, talking about Jesus and how he was being in very nature God, and yet humbled himself to become a man. And it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Listen to what Heber C. Kimball said on July 26, 1857, in Volume 5, page 88. He said, "You call us fools, but the day will be, gentlemen and ladies, whether you belong to this church or not, when you will prize Brother Joseph Smith as the prophet of the living God and look upon him as a god, and also upon Brigham Young, our governor in the territory of Deseret." I mean, to say that I'm going to look upon him as a god, I'm afraid I'm not. I'm going to be looking to Jesus. I'm going to be worshiping Jesus. My knee will be bowing, as will everybody else's. But it won't be saying anything about Joseph Smith being a god.
No, it won't. It'll be proclaiming the fact that Jesus is Lord. Our devotion is to him and him alone.
But Brigham Young said on March 8, 1857, Volume 4, page 271, that we're going to have to pass by Joseph in order to get into the celestial kingdom. And the idea that Joseph is going to be maybe a judge of any kind, is going to tell me what I've done wrong when he is a sinful man. Yes, the man Jesus Christ will be a judge for us, but he was sinless. Joseph Smith was a sinner. And we've described a lot of the things that Joseph Smith has done. For them to hold him up as a judge or a god is, again, I'm going to use the term again, it's blasphemous, and this is why we have a problem. I know that Mormons like to say that they're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but for all intents and purposes, it might as well be the Church of Joseph Smith of Latter-day Saints.
Well, let's be serious. A lot of people are kicked out of the Mormon Church, not because they've lost any faith in their conception of Jesus. They're kicked out because they've lost faith in Joseph. That happens all the time. We've talked to many people who have left the Mormon Church who still claim to have a belief in Jesus. And I know we can talk about, well, what is that conception? That's a whole other argument. But the fact is, it was their lack of faith in Joseph that got them in trouble with the Mormon Church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.